Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing and a high fly ball deep right center field. That one's up the alley. On the run, call. He won't get it. It's gone. And back and forth they go. And Bryce Harper with a big raise of the fist running around second base as he's given the Phillies a 5-4 lead.
On the night, the Phillies clinched the NL East. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show broadcasting at Stateside Live for 94 WIP's Red October Rally. Come on by. You can park in parking lot S and walk over here, formerly Xfinity Live. Now, Stateside Live. Hugh joining us right now. We will have Rob Thompson's press conference in a little bit here as he talks about the roster and decisions they have to make with this thing as we get ready for Games 1 tomorrow night. Our guy, Ben Davis, Ben. With us. Ben, what's up?
How we doing?
Ben,
we're
October.
Good, man. Excited.
We're great.
We are excited. Big time.
It's a battle of titans. We saw you a couple mornings ago as you were leaving the morning show. We were coming in for our show, and we were talking about it. I mean, Ben, this does not feel like a division series. This feels like an LCS or a World Series.
Yeah, it does. This two best teams in baseball going at it, and that's the bottom line. And I think it's going to be a great five-game series. Hopefully the Phils win. Three would be great. Just nip it in the bud and move on. But I don't see that happening. I think it's going to go. I think it's going to go four games personally, but possibility of five. But bottom line is just win, baby. Just win.
Just win. And they have look. There's a lot of pitfalls we got to deal with in this series, including the top of their lineup. Ben, one thing I heard the other night after the game, Mookie Betts was talking about how if it was him, he wouldn't pitch to Shohei Ohtani. But it's Mookie Betts behind Shohei Ohtani. How do you think the Phillies are going to navigate that in big moments? Because typically when there's a hitter as great as Ohtani, you do think about pitching around him, right? He's in that class. I couldn't do that. I can't just give them free base runners when Mookie Betts is behind him.
Correct. And the Phillies, knock on wood, have handled Ohtani in years past. That's the bottom line. Rob Thompson is very content in going after him. And right now, I do not want to pitch to Mookie Betts because Mookie Betts is doing Mookie Betts things, and that's not good for the Phillies. He's one of the most dynamic players in baseball. But Ohtani, the Phillies just pitch him well. Yeah. And let's hope that trend continues. But Rob Thompson is not one to put guys on base and start that ball rolling because this is a deep lineup, especially 1-4. I put Teoscar in there as well. He's very talented and provides a lot of thump in the middle of that lineup. But you get through those top four, I like the Phillies' chances.
You know what, Ben, we were talking about this, and I'm kind of curious how you feel about this. The way this team is constructed right now, I personally don't think that we have to have the October Bryce that we've had in the past. How do you feel about that? Because Joe feels like we need to have, you know, Bryce being doing Bryce Harper things in October.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's built for this. He is a red light player. We've seen him do it in the past. But I agree with Joe. I think he's got to step it up. He needs to be that guy, the heart and soul of that lineup. Mm-hmm. But it's not just him, Hugh. This has got to be 1-9. It has to be a concerted effort. They have to be better offensively. The reason they've lost the last 3 years is because of their offense. You can say what you want about their pitching. Oh, Kimbrel blew it a couple years ago. They stopped hitting. They have to be more consistent. They can't go 0-18 in some of these games. They have to be more consistent offensively. If they do, they will win.
Well, and I think we feel better about that possibility because the lineup just looks deeper. I mean, and look, these guys have hit. Marsh since the end of April has been good. Stott since the end of July has been good. And I can't say enough good things about Harrison Bader. I mean, what an addition by Dave Dombrowski. And the crazy part, Ben, is we didn't really see this coming. Like, when they got him, we were all in the air that day. And we're like, all right, he's a good player, right? But he's a good player. He's been an all-star level player since he got here. It feels, too, like he's changed the energy and the vibe. He's just a difference maker.
He is a difference maker. And, you know, Dave Dombrowski was on the afternoon show about a week ago, and he said, we kind of knew what we were going to. We didn't expect him to be this good.
Right.
But he has been. He has been provided. There's a lot of stoic players on the Phillies, but I think Bader, he gives them a little bit of an edge. And I think that's what this ball club needed. He's been great. This dude is finding holes. That's the bottom line. I know all his hits aren't always pretty, but he's getting hits. He's finding holes. And what he's doing in center field is, I mean, this guy can go get him.
Yeah,
he can flat out go get him. I was talking with first base coach Paco Figueroa last Friday, and He loves the way this guy prepares, the way he plays. And, again, he does bring that different edge to this ball club, which I think they needed.
All right, quickly, we're going to have Hopper coming up in a few minutes. We're going to take his press conference live. You see in the postseason sometimes, Ben, teams use their relief pitchers, their best ones, a little bit differently because the biggest moments, you got to use them. How would you use Duran? And what I mean, he's the ninth inning guy. We know that. He's been that. He's a closer. But if we get to a moment where Ohtani, Betts, Freeman are coming up in the eighth, would you use him, or is he your ninth inning guy?
I think you kind of have to use him in that situation.
That's where I'm at.
Because I know that won't go down as a quote-unquote a save.
But that's the
save. That's you're save, actually saving the ball club if you were able to get those guys out, whether that be in the seventh inning or eighth inning. But I think he'll be deployed maybe a little strategically, I think, by Topper. He's not afraid. I wouldn't be surprised if he threw two innings. He's done it in Minnesota, and Topper, I think, will be able to do that in the postseason.
Yeah, and look, if you can get that, it changes the game. Multiple innings. And we saw, I know they lost the series, but Mason Miller in Ooh-wee. San Diego, 104.5 on the outside.
That's fast.
That's a joke. I mean, that is literally don't blink. Literally. These guys are just built differently, yeah. I guess. 104 is this. How about Chapman? I mean, Chapman last night throwing 101.
I know.
This guy's 106 years old. He's still throwing 101.
His arm's still got it.
It's unbelievable. No, it's just these guys, they know how to light up the radar gun. But, yeah, I'm kind of glad the Padres are out because I think they would have been should the Phillies move on, they would be a big test for them.
I agree. All right, quickly with that. Cubs, Brewers. Who do you think wins that series? Because once we get through this, that's who we got to see to get to the World Series.
I think the Brewers win that.
Yeah. Phillies Brewers would be a good NLCS.
It would be. And, you know, the Brewers play very good fundamental baseball. They steal bases. They get bunts down. Their defense is off the charts. Their bullpen is really, really good. They're in a good spot. I see them moving past the Cubs.
Yeah, it'll be a fun NLCS if it's there. All right, coming up, and we appreciate Ben hopping in. We'll carry Rob Thompson's press conference live right here on the Midday Show from Stateside Live on Sports Radio 94 WIP. NFL Sunday's coming. You've got your crew, your couch, your snacks, your slate, and FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is coming in with something extra. This isn't just an NFL Sunday. It's your chance to place that perfect parlay or hit your go-to player prop, and now FanDuel's making it even better. This week, FanDuel's bringing the bonus. That's right. Right now, all customers get a 50% prop boost on any bet. However you play or game, FanDuel's got your back with something extra in your account because that's what Sunday should feel like. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download the app and get in on the action before kickoff. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you hear that music, you know what it is. It is playoff time. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, joined by Ben Davis this hour. Later in the hour, Big Game Dante, who's live and in person here.
Yeah, I saw him. This will probably be our last time seeing Dante. He's about to blow up,
Well,
dog.
He was telling me about Opera School. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be doing these national anthems at Citizens Bank Park soon. But we have him today, and we're excited for that. We're going
to
carry the Rob Thompson press conference. Yeah, he probably is. Rob Thompson's presser coming up in a few minutes. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing people others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Is this series more on the hitting or the pitching? The hitting, 80% of the votes on that one. Quickly, before we get to Topper, Ben, where did it come down on the Aaron Nola decision? Because when Topper was on the morning show a couple days ago, he seemed to allude to the idea that Nola could get a start, which surprised me at first because I just assumed three starters, right? You have the off days. It would be Sanchez, Luzardo, Suarez in some order. But it seems like they might give Nola a start.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I think they're going to go with the three lefties in this series. Obviously, with added off days, you have a chance to repeat, especially with Sanchi.
Right.
But I was very encouraged from what I saw in Nola's last start against the Twins. I know it's the Twins, but, man, he was a different pitcher. He had great finish on his fastball. The curveball wasn't rolling. I mean, it had some bite to it, some really good changeups, but his fastball command was good. His velocity was up. That was very encouraging to see. I just don't know if put it this way. If he does get a start, I think it'll be a very short leash.
And
they've done that before. I mean,
they have.
22 when it was Syndergaard as that fourth guy, or Bailey Falter. They got those guys out of the game quickly here. I we were talking to Scott about it. He seems to think they've got it mapped out. I'd feel better about it if they were up 1-0 and gave them the ball Monday night to go up 2-0.
Yeah.
If they're down 0-1, that's a different story. All right, let's go to Rob Thompson, his press conference.
If you do have a question, just ask that you raise your hand. There are microphones on the outside here and one on the left over there. So, first question. Was it? Okay. The front and left.
How you doing, Rob?
Good.
I know pro athletes and coaches, managers, they're usually intentional about not letting outside noise get into locker rooms, clubhouses, and whatnot as they try to do their job. But, you know, just from a human aspect, I want to know, do you and your team kind of just feel the buzz between this matchup? I mean, it's two teams that have been right there at the end the past couple of years. Obviously, they won it last year, but it's a matchup that's obviously making headlines nationally and, of course, here locally. Do you guys feel that and see it?
Well, you know, they are the world champions, and I think there's a buzz every year that we come into this thing. Is there more this year? I don't know, because we haven't really dealt with anything yet, but as the series goes on, I think the buzz will increase. But, I think both these clubs are really matched up well. Good starting pitching, got a lot of thump in both lineups, and very veteran groups. So I think they'll be able to handle it.
Okay, let's go to the back wall. Matt on the left.
What will your rotation be for this series?
I got Sanchi tomorrow, and then I'll announce Monday starter tomorrow.
Okay, go to the front left here, first row.
Hey, Rob. Crystal Rich, CBS Philly. How you doing?
Good.
Just curious. You guys are familiar with the Dodgers, facing them two times in the regular season. But what did you see out of their offense in their wild card sweep of the Reds that allowed them to be so explosive?
Well, they hit a lot of home runs. They got a lot of slug in their lineup, and they proved to everyone that they can also win games and score runs without slugging. They got a lot of veteran hitters that grind at bats. They know the strike zone, and they don't get out of the strike zone a whole lot. So you have to be you have to pitch them very, very well.
And really, both teams are able to be very explosive. How important is it for the Phils to be able to manufacture runs in this series?
It all depends on their pitching. You know, they got really good starting pitching, and you get into a tight ball game, and their guy's on, then you may have to do some things. But I do like the slug, the ability of us to slug, but I do like the ability for us to be able to manufacture runs when we need to. We've sort of showed that over the course of the year.
Okay, let's go to Dave right in the front.
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
How much do you think you guys learned from facing Shohei the first time? And a second part to that, how much did Christopher learn from the last time he faced the Dodgers?
It's a good question. I don't know exactly how much. I can't put a number on it, but I do think it helps when you see an opponent, whether it's a pitcher seeing another offense or an offense seeing another pitcher. I think it helps everybody, and that's when you have to make adjustments.
Go to Grace right on your left, right in the front.
Rob, your first series against the Dodgers started 6 months ago tomorrow. How do you weight that series in your game planning versus the one that happened about 3 weeks ago?
Oh, it's way more about the one 3 weeks ago. And then just watching them in the wild card series and watching them coming down the stretch, I think that's what you base it off of, what happened 6 months ago. I mean, the teams are a little bit different than they are now. So, I'm basing it more off of the last series.
Okay, let's go to Devin on the front on the left there.
Hi, Rob. So this is a position you guys have been in before. You know, you guys had the few days off last season as well. What have you done differently going into this NLDS to kind of make sure the guys' mindset is ready to go come game time tomorrow?
Well, it's really, I think the mindset's going to be, I mean, they're highly motivated, so I'm not really worried about that. It's more about the physical part of it. We did more velocity training, more breaking ball training, trying to really focusing in on controlling the strike zone. And I think the inter-squad game the other night did a lot for us with having 31,000 people here. And, I think the it was a lot more game-like than anything else that we could produce.
Okay, go to Tim, front right.
Hi, Rob. Will you go 14 position players and 12 pitchers for this round?
The roster will be out tomorrow.
Okay, let's go. Paul on the left in the middle there.
Rob, I know you said you're not going to announce the rotation until tomorrow, but just as far as evaluating potentially starting three straight lefties against a team, are Lizardo and Sanchez different enough from Suarez that that makes that a little more comfortable for you if it comes to that?
You mean Lizardo and Sanchi are different?
Yeah, a little bit different style.
Yeah.
Suarez enough so that it's
they are.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, Lizardo is more the power guy and Ranger's more the finesse guy. So I think it's kind of two different guys, so it's not like we're pitching the same guy back-to-back. So I'm comfortable with that, if that's what we do.
Go to Anthony right in the middle.
Rob, I have an individual question for you. So you set some lofty goals. We talked about this for Trey at the beginning of the season. And while he didn't reach those numbers, he still had an excellent year. Looking back at it, even though were you trying to set targets that even though they weren't attainable, was creating a certain mindset or approach that actually ultimately worked for him?
Yeah, I think whenever you have goals, you overdo it a little bit and just keep that carrot out there for him. And Trey had a heck of a year, and he did pretty much exactly what we need him to do, and he got it done. And consequently, he scored a lot of runs. Our ball club scored a lot of runs. Schwarber has all these RBIs just because Trey's on base a little bit more. So it really worked out well.
Let's go to Matt on the left on the wall.
How critical do you think it'll be to get push their starting pitchers out of the game as early as you can, but also how do you make sure you're not too passive when you're trying to build up their pitch count maybe early in the games?
Yeah, that's that balance there, you know. And that's a good question. I think our goal, doesn't matter who we're facing, is try to get the starter out of the game as soon as we can. So that's really what our game plan is. I don't think that it's that a secret. So, we'll try and do the best we can, to your point, not be too passive where we're taking a strike or something like that. We're not going to do that. But what we really want to do is keep the ball in the strike zone. That's really the goal. If you can do that, you'll build pitch counts.
Let's go to the sixth row on the right. Go. Yep.
Hi, right here. You talk about Shohei a little bit. Also, you're going to face Shohei as pitcher tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So what you have seen and what you saw him a couple weeks ago?
Well, a couple weeks ago was probably his best start of the year. He was, phenomenal. It's the combination of power and control, command, stuff. He was really good. He was pumping strikes, and it was 98, 99. The secondary pitches are all way above average. So if he's doing that, it's a tough task.
Okay, let's go to Bob in the back left.
And Rob, with the Dodgers bullpen being in such a state of flux, is it great a challenge for you as far as really having no idea who they're going to bring in as soon as the starter's out?
Well, I think once we know their roster, I think you can kind of figure out where they're going to set their pockets. So, and then you react accordingly. That's all you can do. But I think that, they're going to, once the starter's out, they're just going to match up till the end of the game.
Potential closer?
Really good. It's power. It's basically fastball split. We heard about he's coming up with a cutter, but to our eyes, we haven't seen that yet. So he's going to come right after you, and it's a big arm for a short period of time.
Okay, let's go to Cole in the right in the middle.
Hi, Rob. One of the things that makes this Dodgers lineup so potent is their complementary guys at the bottom of the lineup. So how important is it to be aggressive early in counts against the guys at the top of the lineup so you're not falling behind when you get to the bottom?
Yeah, it's always important to get ahead. Doesn't matter who you're facing. So, and that's, I think, every pitcher on the planet, that's their game plan, is to try and get ahead. So the numbers show it. If you're 0-1 or 0-2, the numbers against a hitter, or the hitter's numbers go way down as opposed to 1-0, 2-0. So for me, it doesn't matter what part of the lineup you're in. Yeah. Get ahead.
Okay, let's go to the front here to Ty on the right.
Rob, being in the playoffs a few years in a row now, you've gotten to do the NLDS where the first two games are back-to-back days and you have the extra off day. When you do have the extra off day, how does that change how aggressive you can be with your pitching staff and just kind of game planning?
It all depends on your starting pitcher. If he's lights out, then you stay with him.
Anything further for Rob? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there it is, Rob Thompson's press conference before game number one tomorrow. All right, there's a lot to unpack there. But one thing that came up there, as we have Ben Davis with us in this hour, and big game Dante is going to give us the national anthem coming up in a little bit, but talking about that Dodgers bullpen, Ben, if there's a weakness on that team, it feels like it's their bullpen. Now, it's evolving, though, right?
Yeah.
Sasaki was a starting pitcher to start. He actually pitched here in April. Now he's coming out of their bullpen. Do you think it's gotten better? Is it still their big week? Like, well, how do you view their bullpen? Because you go back to that series in September where we went out there. We did all our damage against that bullpen.
We did. Yeah, I think it was 18 and two-thirds innings that the starters had. And they scored. They had one earned run against our lineup. They did all their damage against the bullpen. I think that the bullpen part has gotten better because of Sasaki. And this guy is, I mean, if that splitter's on, he's borderline unhittable.
Yeah, he's good.
Because he's triple digits with the fastball, and he's below the zone with the split. So I would say that part has gotten better. The other guys are still the same, and the Phillies guys have handled them. You know, you got Trinan out there.
Yep.
They handled him, the Vesia from the left side. I still think, and segue to, I think Castellanos is going to have a say in the series off one of these relievers that the Dodgers have from the left side.
I agree with
you. I think he's going to have a big say in it.
Where he's at least going to have his chance, right?
Yes, like, yes.
They bring in Vesey a lot, that Tanner Scott. And I just keep thinking about when Topper deploys him. Does he save him for the eighth? Does he use him in the fifth? Like with Kepler's coming up against a lefty. But, Ben, wouldn't it be an amazing twist to the story if he has his moment? And, look, it was – there's not many teams that have 250 home runs on the bench.
Correct.
He's a guy that's had an accomplished career. And look, 17 years ago, Matt Stairs had a moment in LA. I'm with you. I think there's going to be a spot for him. Two guys on, a guy on, seventh inning, down one, tie game. He could pop one.
He definitely could pop one. If anyone could do it, you know, leave it up to Slick Nick to do that. I think there's going to be, like you said, there's definitely going to be an opportunity for him to make his mark on this series. And, boy, that would be a huge lift for the Phils.
Hugh, could you imagine if after all this, I mean, it's been a weird season for Castellanos, right? He lost his job as a starter. He had to transition to becoming a role player. He has not loved it. I mean, look, it's been pretty clear and at times uncomfortable when he's spoken about it.
Yeah, cryptic.
Yeah, cryptic and just awkward. But could you imagine if it's him that has the big moment?
Yeah, I can. I mean, because I just feel like this is how this is going to go. Because the last couple of seasons that we've been in this situation, the guys that we counted on, you know, for the most part, didn't step up.
Yeah.
And didn't get it done. And it was left to the other guys. You know, and I always talk about Rojas and the position that he was in. I think that the way the team is built now, that every part of this series, every phase that you're in this series, it's going to be a different contributor. That's what it kind of just feels like. It doesn't feel like we're going to be having to count on one guy or the top guys. It feels like every moment that we're going to be in this space, it's going to be somebody that we weren't counting on that steps up and has a big game. That's what it feels like that way to me.
Yeah, and it feels like, Ben, that Topper's going to play a big role in this. I mean, I know the players decide the game, but, man, in October, those managers, they get involved. They have a lot of decisions to make. And when do you deploy the pinch hitters? And really, I'm wondering how long he lets his starters go. Because, Ben, you look at the last few postseasons, other than the Wheeler starts, he pulls the starters pretty quick. You know, he'll get them out 75, 80 pitches, fifth inning, 13, 14 outs. I kind of want to ride the starters a little bit more with our underbelly of our bullpen, but how do you think he's going to handle that? Like Lizardo, Nola, I think we all agree, probably won't last long. But Lizardo and Ranger, would you kind of let them go a little bit more? Or would you, fifth inning, they've seen the Dodgers line up two times, would you get them out of the game?
Not to minimalize your question, but I think the scoreboard is going to really dictate that.
Of course.
You know, if they have a lead, I think he might let these guys front run a little bit, get a couple more innings, and then maybe you only have to rely on two guys out of the bullpen. But if it's close, I do see him having a shorter leash. And I couldn't agree. I was listening on the way in here. I could not agree with you more that I think the Phillies definitely have the nod with regard to managerial duties. I love Dave Roberts, Doc as we call him. But I think Topper, I think he's so forward-thinking. There's been times, you know, when we have our social scrum or media scrum before the game, we always head back to his office, and he tells us, you know, who actually is available that night.
Sure.
He just doesn't want to let on. The things that he thinks about, it's remarkable. That stuff, and I like to think of myself as a pretty smart baseball man. He's so forward-thinking. I mean, they're over every scenario. He's got a great staff to go along with it. These guys are at the field every day at noon for a 7 o'clock game. Noon. And they have scenarios for other scenarios. They're always forward-thinking, and I do think the Phillies definitely have the advantage with Topper.
Yeah, I mean, you know, although he's only managed for 4 years now, you could tell when you listen to him and watch him manage, like, he's spent his whole life in a dugout, right? All those years in the Yankees and the bench coach stuff, you could feel that when he manages. And I think he's going to have to manage them through some situations because there's no pocket of that lineup with the Dodgers that's easy. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for him, and I think the bullpen usage is going to be interesting. So let me ask you this. Right-handed relievers. Who do you trust? I mean, obviously Duran, but before Duran, what's your order of trust right now? Because you have Kirkering, you have Robertson. I suppose you have Walker Buehler, who's now going to be down there. Like, if you had to rank those guys in terms of trust, big moments, are you handing the ball to Kirkering? Is it Robertson because he's been through this so many times?
Yeah, I'm going to go Robertson. And the whole Kirkering thing just befuddles me because
he should be so much
better.
He's
got the best stuff out there. Like, literally, he's got the best stuff in that bullpen when he's right. It just seems, and I'm not making excuses, whenever he makes a mistake, the hitters hit it.
Yeah,
I don't get it. You throw 97 to 99 with good sink, good run, and a wipeout slider. It's just, I don't know if he just gets tight or he starts thinking about it or tries to overthrow. You know, when you overthrow, that's when you hang that slider. That's when you're really trying to bury it. That's when you hang it. So I don't know if he's just trying too hard, but stuff-wise, he should not be getting hit. He shouldn't be, but I would probably go with Robertson over Kirkering.
Yeah, I think I would too. And Robertson has a way, Ben. Sometimes there's a reliever or two that just can put guys on and get out of
trouble. Yeah.
He's been doing it for like 15 years. It's crazy. It's like he almost buckles down more when he's got three guys on the base.
Yeah, it makes him focus a little bit more.
Yeah.
No, but D-Rob, he's a great dude, and he does. He's got a great heartbeat for it. Yeah. I mean, the moment's not too big for him. I think all those years in New York, really being that setup guy for Mo, really helped him out. And, you know, he's been there, done that.
Yeah, he has. 215-592-9494 for Hoppin. We'll take a couple calls here before we bring over Big Game Dante in a little bit for the National. Have you heard Big Game Dante?
I have not.
What was it, Hugh? Remember the All-Star game a couple years ago?
Yeah, he sang the National Anthem.
So I forget her name. There was the performer at the All-Star game.
Ingrid Andress, I think.
Oh, you're talking about the one that was, she got banged up?
Yeah,
she
had a tough performance.
Oh, yeah.
So then we asked our audience if anyone could do it better, right? We had almost like tryouts for the National Anthem on the show. And Dante, who at that point I think was in high school, called in. And
yeah,
we were
stepped up.
We were like, oh, my goodness,
yeah,
this guy could sing. So we've brought him on for big games, like before the first game of the Eagles season, the Super Bowl, the playoffs.
Be the last
and
time
now,
see.
Ben, he's in opera school.
Yeah,
so, we think
opera school?
Yeah, we think he's going to end up, like, in Citizens Bank Park.
He's about the big time.
Wow.
So we keep waiting for him to say, guys, I'm too big for you now. But keeps showing up.
I didn't know they had school for that.
Yeah, they do. And Dante's in school for it. And like, I'm not mad at him for doing it. But pretty soon, when we text Big Game Dante and ask him to come down, he's going to hit us with, who is this?
Yeah, who are you guys again?
He's going to hit us
now,
with, who is this?
Now, if he makes it big, do we get any credit?
I mean,
we should.
We could talk about it, but he's not, you know, we probably won't hear from him anymore. Yeah. But, you know, it'll be a nice story to tell.
Yeah, well, we helped launch his career. Now, he's going to come on at about 1:50 to do the National Anthem before we hand it over to the afternoon show. All right, so we've unpacked a lot of this series. Ben, like, what's your feel? You have nerves going in? Like, when you go into a series this big, watching it, are you excited, nervous? Like, what's your – and obviously your experience and your background gives you a sense of watching these. But, like, what are you feeling?
I'm anxious.
Yeah, that's
I'm
a good
anxious.
Word.
I'm not nervous because I don't think the players are really that nervous. I really want Bryce Harper to win a World Series ring, and I want him to win it here. You know, I just think that would kind of solidify him as one of the best, and obviously he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer regardless. But I just think that I'd like to see him get a ring. A lot of these guys on this ball club, I'd love to see get a ring. I think they've worked for it. I think they've, you know, they've been professional about it. And, you know, I said on the morning show yesterday, a lot of fans think that they just show up at 6:45, they put their uniform on and run out on the field. These guys work, man. I know they're getting millions upon millions of dollars, but they really do work at their craft and being better and preparing to win. And they do prepare to win every day.
You mentioned the Bryce thing. I'm curious where you come down on what to expect out of Bryce in this series. So, for me, he hasn't had his typical Bryce Harper year, right? He was good. It's obviously, the standard is for him way higher than that. He's been an MVP twice. Do you think he's going to have a big October? Do you expect it? I do. I think he's the kind of guy who could turn it on for 3 weeks in October. And, Ben, I go back to 22. He was hurt a lot that year. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a good September. I remember we talked about it, like, boy, he's struggling. And then hit that home run off of Michaelis in St. Louis, and it was off to the races. Hugh has kind of told me to calm down and said, this is the year he had. It might not be that this year. I think he's going to explode starting tomorrow night.
If anyone can do it, it's him. He can definitely flip the switch. I just hope he doesn't try too hard. You know, when he starts over swinging his heel, he's swinging off his heels. He's moving towards that first base dugout. If he stays within himself, I'd love to see him just hit a ball to left field, you know, hard to the left side, his first at bat. That seems to get him going. But, yeah, I think if anyone can carry a team for 3 weeks, it could definitely be Bryce Harper. But I think in the back of his mind, he kind of knows it doesn't always have to be him. So maybe that'll take some pressure off, knowing this lineup is a little bit deeper this year.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, we haven't gone to a phone call in a while. 215-592-9494. Kyler, can you put up Tyler in Delaware? Tyler's been waiting. Tyler, buddy, what's going on?
Yo, Ben! Good to hear from you, brother. Joe, Hugh, Kyle, what's going
what's
on,
up, man?
Ben?
How
that's,
doing?
That's the energy I need during the rally. What's up, Tyler? How are you feeling?
Hey, I tell you what, Joe, the confidence has just gradually gone up these past few hours. I kid you not, it is unbelievable the fact that we have Dodgers Phillies that we get to say this is going to be here tomorrow. And just the stage is set for just such an unbelievable series. The way that Ben, you put it, it's a nervous confidence that I have. Not nervous in that way, but it's the anxiousness of I can't wait for 6:38 to get here, for baseball to actually start, because so much is built up to this, and I'm so excited to see this team rise and meet the moment. It just feels, Joe, Hugh, and Ben, that this team has been putting in the work to get this done, and the fact that it's the Dodgers, it adds another level of urgency, because since they are the defending champions, that is going to be what is ultimately going to propel us to the next level. But speaking of next level, Philadelphia! It's red October! Do you understand? We have been playing baseball for the past 6 months to get to this point. Do you understand that this is the opportunity we have been waiting for, to be able to beat the best team, to beat the defending champion? This city embodies the underdog mentality. I take you back to the days of Rocky. The quote of every champion was once a contender who refused to give up. This Phillies team is going to refuse to lose. We have suffered since 2008. We have been starved for a World Series championship. And let me remind you that Mr. Middleton wants to bring that World Series trophy back to Philadelphia, back to our home. Christopher Sanchez is our ace. He will meet this moment tomorrow on the mound. We have the batting title champion in Trey Turner back healthy at the top of our order. We have Bader, we have Schwarber, we have Harper, we have Gomer. Do you understand? We have the best.
We have the horses that can get this job done. And we have the type of players that are going to meet that moment. And need I remind you that the Dodgers are coming into our house. We are a football town, but started we're a sports town. It's going to be SEC college atmosphere at the bank Saturday and Sunday. I need every single one of y'all to bring it. I need to hear the BLA chants raining down on Seth and Ohtani and screaming and all their hitters. And I need us to stand up because Philly Nation, we are going to ring that bell. Let's go, Phil!
He powerful.
Tyler,
he's feeling it.
Are you fired up,
buddy?
That's a lot.
Tyler, we appreciate
you. Love you, Tyler.
My goodness,
that's a lot for a Friday.
What? I mean, it's a rally.
I understand the weight of
this. He's pumped up.
I understand the weight of the situation. I'm just saying, on a Friday, that's a lot.
Isn't the whole point of this on Fridays?
Well, you. What about what's happening tomorrow then? Like, that's more, to me, that feels like more of a tomorrow.
We're here today.
Yeah, we're almost at game time.
Yeah, but tomorrow.
No, I need you to lock in now.
I'm locked in. I'm always locked in. Have you seen?
Kyle, does it feel like Hugh's locked in?
Absolutely not.
Have you seen me? I'm locked in every day.
No, Tyler was locked in.
Did Kyle just hit me with the
Yeah, it was an absolutely not from Kyle. And No, I mean, Tyler's been sitting on that all day.
No, he has. Yeah. And you know what? I will say this. Tyler has been real fluid in his deliveries the last two times he's done that.
No, he's getting good at these.
Yeah, he's been real fluid. I can't say the same for some other folks. I ain't going to say no name.
You mean the voices that crack once in a while during these?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Hey, and then Aaron, is Aaron still in his feelings?
Oh, yeah, he lives out. Well, I mean, if we're being fair, four of us talked over him for 5 minutes while he was on the phone.
It happens sometimes. Yeah, y'all talk over me every day. I don't get upset.
Well, we're trying to help you out. That's all that's about. We're just trying to help you out.
You can't – listen, I'm going to say, you can't be snowflakes from 10 to 2. We can't have no snowflakes.
No, we cannot have that.
You can't have no snowflakes.
You got to have thick skin on this show.
Yeah, you got to, man. There ain't no snowflakes
especially,
on this show.
Especially TK was with us. You people got him earlier. I saw some of that.
Wait, right. What did they say?
Well, come on. You know what they said about him. They called him Jolly Junior. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Dante is going to join us for the national anthem coming up in just a few minutes. Mark in Woodbury Heights, who's been with us all season, the ups and the downs of the Phils. Mark, are you ready?
Joe, I am ready. I am excited. This brings back memories of the late 70s, 08, 09. I am pumped about playing the Dodgers. But, and I love what Tyler just did, man. That was very motivating. I want to ask you a Bennett question. What's the Phillies' biggest weakness going into the series?
Biggest concern, you said?
Yeah, or weakness.
My biggest concern is the underbelly of the bullpen, right? When we get after the starter before we get to Duran, that's my concern. Now, we should hit their bullpen, so maybe some runs will happen on both sides. But, Mark, if Topper lifts the starting pitcher in the fifth or the sixth, kind of like this, I'll put it this way. Ben, outs 14 through 24, right? Those 10 outs.
Right.
We got to get those. And how are we getting those? And how many runs do the Dodgers get while we're getting those? I feel like that's the game.
Yeah.
Because I like our starters, even without Wheeler. I love our closer. But that middle of the game there, that's the biggest concern I have.
Yeah, I can see that. And I get that because a couple guys were a little shaky down the stretch. My biggest concern is this offense and them just going stagnant and going – you know, 1-for-18 over a six inning period. You know, one of those things that has me concerned because we've seen that in years past.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest concern.
Ben, I agree with you 100%. I am so, that's my only worry. Starting pitching will be fine. I think the bullpen will be all right. I am worried about this offense struggling like it has off and on throughout the year, like it has in past postseason. They got to get timely hitting, you know, and that's my only concern. But, you know, I want them to win this so bad. I want to see Rob Thompson win a championship. Let's go, Phils. But, man, guys, we need timely hitting. I hope they come through. Thanks, guys.
You got it, Mark. We appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Mark's been with us from day one. Mark's one of my favorite callers and fans because he is super emotional when it's time to be super emotional, and then he can kind of be reserved when we got to talk about a big picture. He called us after the first game of the season. It's one of my favorite calls of the season we had, Ben, because they struck out 19 times against mm-hmm. Mackenzie Gore.
Right.
And Mark's call was, enough is enough. And it was the first game of the
first
season.
First game. But 161 to go.
But you know what? We all felt that. Like, come on.
Right.
Look, this series is going to be challenging. There's no guarantees. I do appreciate, Ben, how they've evolved as the season has gone on.
Because yeah.
it's the same core of the players that have come up short the last couple of years. But they do feel different. Like, Stott feels like a different hitter now than he did in May.
Yeah.
Marsh is... I basically wrote him off after April. I was like, come on. We've been doing this for 3 years. He's okay, but he's not really that guy. And he might bat fifth tomorrow, and I feel good about it.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys have really evolved as the season went on.
They have. And you and I were talking during the break. That Mariners series, which I think was the best three-game set they played in the last 5 years, I think that kind of catapulted them in a different way offensively. They weren't striking out as much. They were putting balls in play. They were better with two strikes. Situational hitting was better. So from that aspect, I think they kind of learned a lot about themselves. Hey, you know what? We're having success with this approach. Let's stick with that, and hopefully they can carry that throughout the course of the playoffs.
Well, and then there was the overall transformation of Trey Turner, right? Because
yeah.
his first 2 years here, it wasn't bad, but for considering the player we were told he
and
was.
And the money he got.
Right, an MVP-caliber player, $300 million, I think we thought we were getting that. And he wasn't that the first years. His defense improved.
Yeah.
He won the batting title,
yep.
and I feel like he was exactly what we hoped he would be, which was consistent. He had like that one slump in July, but other than that, he's been good the whole year.
Yeah, he has been. And such a catalyst at the top of that lineup. And you're right, his defense has improved dramatically. It's like we're not even talking about it anymore. He put the work in. But what he's done at the plate, he took to heart what Rob Thompson told him in spring training. Listen, you need to get on base. You need to score runs. He's taking the singles to right field. Yeah, if you leave a cookie out in the middle of the plate, you might jump ship on you. But for the most part, he's just been that guy and so consistent throughout the course of the season.
He has. And one guy we haven't talked much about today, but what a year it was Schwarber. 56 home runs. And it's one of the great seasons we've ever seen here. And it's still wild to me that he's a free agent to be. That
yeah,
a player,
about to get paid.
I know. Ben, it's not often a player this good in Philadelphia is about to hit free agency. Usually we've kind of locked that up before
right.
it happens. I hope this isn't the last 3 weeks to a month he's here. I don't think it will be, but... Man, what a year. And he's creeping up that list all time in playoff home runs. Look at that list. It's like Altuve, Manny Ramirez, Bernie Williams, Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah. He is going to get paid. Hugh is right. But I just can't see this guy with any other uniform on than except with Phillies across his chest. I can't see it. So hopefully they can get that done. I guarantee you, though, he's not worried about that right now.
Yeah,
all
no,
he
no.
wants to do is win and get his fourth World Series ring.
All right, so Ben, we've asked everyone that's hopped on with us today to give us an X factor. So we're talking early, you know, maybe a week from Monday if it goes five or next Friday if it goes four. A name that we're going to be talking about. Phillies move on. They beat the Dodgers. So when we started the show today, Hugh said Alec Bohm, which is a good one, right? He's going to probably hit cleanup behind Bryce. I said Matt Strom because I feel like they might ask him to get Ohtani out four or five times in this series in huge spots. It could be a star. It could be a role player. Ben, who's the name we're talking about a week from now?
Well, I'm going to say Trey Turner. I think he's got to be the guy. If he gets on base, they got to pitch to Schwarber and Harper. That's the bottom line. So him getting on base is a huge thing. I hope his hammy is okay. I was talking with T-Mac yesterday, and he said he thinks he's above 75% with that hammy. So hopefully that's not going to keep nagging him. I think if anyone could kind of be a spark plug for this offense, it's Trey.
So we had him on 11:30 this morning. He called in. And we asked him, Hugh, you asked him how the hamstring is.
Yeah, how the hammy.
So he did come off optimistic. He said he feels good. He also did tell us he hasn't yet run 100%.
Right.
Is that one of those things? Did you ever have a hamstring injury?
I didn't run fast enough to hurt my hammies.
I got you. But I just wonder
yeah,
for him. Cause
that's why I couldn't really
last year, Ben, it felt like he didn't let it go for, like he didn't really put the foot on the gas for like, I don't know, maybe months after the injury.
Yeah,
and
it was something that kind of made Rob Thompson wonder a little bit because we were in his office. He's not taking the governor off.
Yeah.
He's got to take the governor off.
Yeah.
I say, hey, just go play your game. If it blows out, it blows out. We got Edmundo Sosa. Not that Edmundo Sosa is the same player as Trey is, but he can't play hesitantly on it.
Right.
You got it's go time. The lights are the brightest right now. You got to go.
Well, especially because his game is predicated on speed.
I
mean, he probably had 25 infield hits this year.
Easy.
Yeah, I kind of... part of me wants to see the first inning tomorrow night, Chopper to shortstop, and he just has to let it go, and then he's fine, and he knows it's good, and away we go. All right, before we hand it over to the afternoon show, they're coming up at 2, and we will have John Middleton. They will have John Middleton on at 3 o'clock today, which should be awesome. Stateside Live, come on by and join us for the rest of the afternoon, the Red October Rally. You could park in parking lot S. Before we get there, Hewitt, I would call tomorrow night a big game. Would you agree with that?
Oh, no question.
Well, if we have a big game here in Philadelphia sports, we need our guy, Big Game Dante, joining us here at Stateside Live. Dante, how you been, man?
I'm very well. I'm super excited for October.
Yeah, you ready for Red October?
Absolutely.
Confident in the Phils?
Yes.
All right, that's
absolutely
what I like to hear. How's school going? How's opera?
It's going really well. Yeah, we're doing the fall scenes. Part of it's going to be, I'm going to be in Figaro scene, so that's going to be fun. Yeah, I got some fun stuff coming up for the semester.
Well, listen, man, we always appreciate when you can join us, especially live, and join us in person. So we're going to hand it over to you, Big Game Dante, for the national anthem. As you, I think we should rise and stand up.
Yes. That's normally what we do.
Yeah, we got to do that. Dante, the floor is yours. Big Game Dante, get us ready for game one.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Yeah, this about our last time, Joe. He sounds good before, but he sounds.
I know he does. Now. Give it up for Big Game Dante.
Well,
get us ready
to be a rap
for game number one.
You know, Joe, we had a joke in the clubhouse. Yeah. He said every time I heard that song, I had a bad game.
Is that yours or all the whole clubhouse?
I used it a lot.
I like that one.
Yeah, Dante,
man, we appreciate you being here with us. Big Game Dante's going to sing at Citizens Bank Park one day. That I'm telling you right now. All right, we're going to hand this over to the afternoon show. Hugh, how you feeling? Now that we did this for the entire week, we had a Red October rally. You got any nerves?
I don't get nervous.
Calm, and collected,
cool.
Hugh Douglas?
Yeah, I'm about to go to this wedding. We're about to win this game tomorrow, and we're about to win this game Sunday.
We're
going to get banged up tonight, too.
We're getting two wins this weekend?
We're getting two wins this weekend. We get banged up tonight. Everybody go get banged up.
All right, Hugh, you have yourself a great weekend. Ben, we appreciate you
being here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks all our guests today, including Scott Fransky, Trey Turner, High Hopes guys, Devin Caney, Al, and Tom Kelly. All right, we're going to hand this over to the afternoon show. They're coming up next. Come on out, Stateside Live, right here in South Philly in the Spin the Sports Complex. Come on out and join us for the rest of the day. John Middleton's going to be on the afternoon show coming up at 3 o'clock. Afternoon show next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.